It's gonna be so good. Oh my gosh. It's Tuesday afternoon, live on the Aaron Strayer Show. Today we're gonna be talking about martinis. We're gonna be talking about dirty ones at that. We're gonna be talking about hot flashes. We're gonna be talking about carpools. We're gonna be talking about all things middle-aged women go through. That's me. That's our guest. I cannot wait to have her on the show. We're going to be talking about how we as women feel like we decrease in value as we age and how she's going to like really kibosh that mindset that we somehow form. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait for you to meet her. She is brilliant, 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 and she's magnetic. Like, you guys are going to fall in love with Miss Juju Hook when she comes on live here. So what are we about here on the Aaron Strayer Show? All we do and everything we stand for is all about uplifting and leveraging and promoting and cultivating and expanding amazing female entrepreneurs that are out there in the world doing things just a little bit differently. We talk about hot topics like hot flashes and pain points like too many martinis and the long lines at the carpool. Oh my gosh, we talk about those things today on the Aaron Strayer Show. I'm Aaron Strayer, and recovering corporates and entrepreneurs hire me to get them beyond the basics of business because most of them are indecisive. They're held hostage by their own fear, and quite honestly, they become flat out complacent. Like, what in the world do we do with hot flashes? Really? We can't control them. But can we? Okay. So anyways, I help them move past that. I can't do that. I don't know how and what's clearly standing in the way so they can give bottom line. They can get clear, concise, executive level. I'm getting all tangled up because I'm talking and thinking about hot flashes. You're going to get detail, attention to your detail, to your business that it deserves. We're going to talk to Miss Juju Hook right now. Are you ready, Lab? Are you ready? Oh, you guys, she is so magnetic. I cannot wait for you to meet her. She is delightful. Hi, I got all tongue-tied, Juju Hook. Hi.
Hi.
Does that happen in middle age, getting tongue-tied?
Well, you know, brain fog happens. And brain fog happens. You know, we're used to our mouth moving at the same time as our brain. And then somewhere along the way, I think some of it is actually hormonal. And some of it's just, you know, like our hard drive gets full, right? But sometimes I notice I have a little time delay. Like, my husband will ask me a question and then I'll answer, I don't know, 6 seconds later. And he's like, where do you go during that time? And so, and I think it happens to a lot of women. So I don't think that's just me. It could be, but I don't think it is.
I don't think so either. So you transitioned at 50 years old. You left a corporate career that you had it in the bag.
Like, I left my corporate career earlier. I left my corporate career when I was in my early 30s and opened my own agency. But I stayed serving corporate. So yeah. I was a brand strategist. I worked on the corporate side, on the client side for many years. And then in my early 30s, when I got pregnant, I left that my executive job and I opened an agency, and I owned a branding agency from the time I was in my early 30s until I was 48. And then I left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And what was the deciding factor?
You know, it was prompted by a big client shift. So I had a national client that supported a big team, a 7-member creative team, and I had had that client for a long time. I was, you know, the agency world, ad agency world is a brutal, brutal game, especially on the corporate side. As soon as you get hired, it's kind of a countdown to the moment you get fired, right? And sure. I had had this account for a long time. And I could see the writing on the wall. I knew it was coming down, and I didn't want to replace the business. And I had all kinds of feelings about my age, to be totally honest. My first thought was that a younger agency was going to be more relevant, that a big national client was going to be looking for something different now. There was all kinds of shifts that had happened in digital advertising, and, you know, foolishly was afraid that I couldn't keep up, right? Like, my brain was spongier maybe than a younger one. I don't know. And then I had my son's high school principal call me out, which was just, we had an awful morning at our house. Once I found out I was going to lose this client, I tipped a couple dirty martinis, which I talk about in my book. And I woke up the next morning, you know, head pounding. We had a storm. We had a flood in our house. My in-laws were here. It was just an absolute show. And
how many more things can be on the plate, right?
Yeah. And typical morning, right? For a 48-year-old career woman with a teenager. And my son and I had a blow up. He crawled out the window, said he was going to run away, right? All this kind of teenage angst. And I dropped him off at school wet. And it was only moments before I get a call from the principal that says, hey, what's going on here? What's going on at your house, right? Christian seems really stressed out. He seems like he's under a lot of pressure, right? And I said, listen, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not doing his homework. He's just skating by. He's never going to live up to his potential. He's never going to get into a great college. All this stuff that we think about as moms. And the principal said, hey, I wouldn't say this to everyone, but you and I have a relationship. I don't think this is about him. I think this is about you. And it was just a moment where I was like, oh my, here it is, right? Here it is. And I think, what he said to me in combination with the fact that I knew that I did not want to go back into a boardroom and replace this client and start again, really got me thinking about the fact that I had never really given myself a chance. And I had kind of had this shadow career my whole life. I'd always wanted to be a writer. I'd always wanted to speak. I'd always wanted to lead people in a certain way, and share my message. And I didn't do that. Instead, I shared other people's messages and I led strategic planning sessions and I wrote ad copy and I made a ton of money. But I never really gave myself a chance. And I think I believed that as I got older, I was less relevant and less powerful. And sort of in a flash, I realized this is it, right? This is the most powerful I've ever been. I know the most. I have the best intuition. I have the most energy. I'm ready now. I'm not winding down. I'm just starting up. And it really sent me off on a tear. And over the course of 2 years, I wrote a book about it. I talked to hundreds of middle-aged women. And it just became my message. And it was the best thing I ever did.
Oh, so your book is actually called Hot Flashes.
Hot Flashes, Carpools, and Dirty Martinis, the quintessential guide for turning midlife into prime time.
And seriously, couldn't it be a more amazing title? Seriously.
Yeah, women respond to it for sure.
I feel like I needed one before the show.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes there's a breakfast martini. You don't want to live your life that way, but sometimes it happens. It does.
So after interviewing these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, you realized that there was some massive stats and some science.
What I started to do was, I didn't do official interviews, but I just started the conversation. So, I'm surrounded by middle-aged women, as you are too, and women at school and women in work. And what it really started was when I walked away from my agency, the very first thing I did was to create an online branding program because I thought, I really want to crack this code of writing and speaking, getting out there. And I didn't really have my sort of inspirational message nailed yet, but I knew branding. So I created an online course. I put the branding course up and I started to guide people through this course as I learned the digital world. And what I realized was that the middle-aged women who owned businesses that were going through the course and building their brands, they had the best brands out there, right? They were the most qualified. They had sort of the richest offerings. They had the greatest differentiations in terms of, what really set them apart in the market, but they were the least willing to own it. So they were discounting themselves. They were sort of apologizing for their age. They were stepping back. They had this perception that because they were older, they were worthless. And I saw enough commonalities among those women and then realized that I had the feeling too, right? And so I just started to talk about it. And what I recognized is that we were all sort of believing a set of lies that had been fed to us. And once I started to uncover the lies and to see the commonalities and the lies, the message just unfolded and it just took on a life of its own.
And I think that that's probably, if I stop to think about it, I'm sure that whatever these lies are that you're going to, that you've uncovered, every single one of us have felt them at some point in time. I know that, oh my gosh, I'm in less than 5 months, I'm 50. Right? I know what I'm feeling right now.
It messes with your head. And it, you know what?
Yes, seriously messes with your head. Like, I'm not sexy really anymore. I'm not prime. I'm 30 years behind technology that's coming out of college right now. You know, all of those. Right. I mean, and it just keeps building on itself, right? Like, it just the worthiness and the value of who I am in the world.
Yes, and it's created, you know, we get these messages all over the place, right? I mean, first of all, we're the first generation really of women that have the gift of good health, or, you know, outstanding health all the way into very old age, right? That's a possibility now, really, even with my mom's generation, that wasn't really available. And, you know, it was only 100 years ago that women hit menopause and then they died. Right. So menopause was like, you know, right. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
So this idea that now we're going to go through menopause and then we have 40 years left to live is relatively new. But we're still hanging on to all of these old thoughts about when old age begins. And then on top of that, this whole anti-aging industry, which is nothing about it is remotely related to anti-aging. It's all related to looking like we're not aging, which is ludicrous because we're all actually aging. So, you know, I joke about it. Like, if an anti-elbow industry popped up tomorrow and they threw enough of these messages at you that said, you know, you could reduce the signs of your elbows in, you know, 6 weeks or less, or, you know, these unsightliness, you'd start to get a little sensation around them, right? You'd want to cover them up or have them removed, and this is the way the anti-aging industry works. And so we're very, very focused on the idea that being older means being worth less. You know, the best compliment we get as women is, oh, you don't look 50.
Right.
Why is that a compliment? Right.
Right. Like, how is that a compliment?
Yeah, to not look your age. That doesn't even make any sense to me. So the idea that we're anti-aging is crazy. It's like being anti-blue sky or anti-green grass. And for men, the anti-aging message is different. It's all about virility and sexuality and performance, right? Sure. But for women, the anti-aging message is really about the way we look. It's about the way we show up in the world. And we buy that message, we buy into it, and then we repeat it. And I'm not saying you can't buy that stuff, you know?
If you want to have surgery
or Botox or whatever, do it. But do it on your own terms. Do it because you're excited about the years you have left to live, not because you're apologizing for the fact that you've already lived some, right? Because
that
sucks. And we don't know that to anyone. It's just, it's not true. It's 50 is amazing. It's amazing.
I'm excited.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, but there is that mind, what's another word? I can't say the word that I want to say.
It's a mind mess. It's a head mess.
It's a head mess. That goes on in that massive reframing that I need to do inside, internally, right? Like,
You got to see it. You got to start to see the thoughts, you know, these thoughts that we have about, you know, like being relevant. That I'm less relevant because I'm this age. And we really associate the idea of relevance with youth. And that's not, it's not accurate. And relevance is relative, right? It's like attraction. So I'm not attractive or unattractive. I'm attractive to someone.
Yeah.
Right? Attraction is, it's relative to another person. And being relevant is the same way, right? I may not be relevant to 29-year-olds anymore in the same way, but I'm very relevant to a group of people. And so it's a moving target. And I think it's important to recognize that because the target moves, we don't decrease in value, right? Every shift doesn't come with value. It doesn't come with a good or a bad. It's a fact of life. And we attach all this yum, yuck, good, bad, you know, more, less to all of these things that aren't really value-based issues. And they mess with our heads.
Yeah. And I think that that's so, so true that all of the, you know, I'm going back to all the advertising, right? Like, all the anti-aging.
Oh, yeah. You have a problem, and I'm going to sell you a solution to the problem. It's not a problem. if someone creates a problem for you and then sells you a solution for it, you know, I mean, come on, what a great like business it's model so for them.
Snake oil, right? Like the totally. All the yes. snake oil stuff from the peddling people pushing the carts
yes.
and the gypsies and all of that. That
it's
right?
Not like, a problem. And if you want to live longer, you know, if you want to invest in things that are going to help you feel more vibrant and alive and so you can thrive, that's awesome, right? That's all about you. But this idea that you have a problem, oh, you know, you're decreasing in value, you're not, you know, there was a study done by a supplement company of women who were turning 50 in their first year of turning 50, and they interviewed 2,000 50-year-old women. And half of them said they had felt invisible
ooh.
Since they turned 50.
Ooh.
So that's not even I look bad. That's literally people can't see me. And also half of them said they felt intimidated by a younger woman in the room. Now, this is crazy, right? That women who are at the most powerful point in their life, because at 50, you have better intuition, more wisdom, more experience, more knowledge, more chutzpah than yeah. you've ever had. And the idea that you would be intimidated standing next to a younger woman, that's not about us. That's about stuff that was fed to us by people mm-hmm. who want to sell us things. And mm-hmm. we really need to uncouple the way we feel about ourselves from the way these companies make money.
You know, I like the way that you said that, to uncouple it. Like,
yeah, that's not my stuff. That's their stuff. They made that up.
And just like quit assuming it's yours. Like quit attaching their stuff to you.
You know, there are other ways that you can do this. Like I really encourage women. I talk to middle-aged women all the time, and I really encourage women to set up their news feeds to be middle-aged friendly. So if you know what you're looking at on Instagram and on Twitter and on Pinterest and who you're following, there are way, way more examples of women who are really crushing things in middle age than women who are suffering for it. Mm. But we go into it with a sense of trepidation, right? I mean, I talked to women, I gave a talk from stage in Nashville to 1,000 women in early October, and there were women in the audience who were in their late 20s. Who already felt like, oh, you know, I've reached my prime. They're late 20s. This is crazy, right? So you really have to make a decision, make a choice to see this a new way. It's a project.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that though, because my daughter's 33 and I've heard her say that before also.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
she feels like she, you know, the whole time's ticking thing and the whole I'm past my worthy state.
It's not ticking.
It's not then.
No, it's not. You know, my ship has sailed. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Right.
Yep.
It's and you know, middle age for women is prime time. It's the 8 to 11 time slot. It's the time in our life when we are prepared to air our biggest shows to our widest audiences, right? That's what it is. And I bought advertising for years on behalf of my clients, and primetime ads are the most valuable ads because they're the best shows, right? And we get to a point where we sort of start to run reruns. Mm. Or we have these massive shifts, right? In middle age, we have all these transitions. You know, our kids move out if we're mothers. If we're not mothering children, if we've mothered something else, if we've mothered relationships or projects or careers or whatever it is, we've often been doing that for 20 or 25 years, right? So we have a shift. Many of us have big shifts in the way we feel about the original job that we chose.
Sure.
Right. I may not be inspired by this anymore. I may not want to do this anymore. We lose our parents often, yeah. but most often in middle age. When this happens, our relationships with our significant others begin to shift. You know, gray yeah. divorce is a huge thing now. So we're and then we have our literal physical shift, right? We go through menopause. And all of these transitions give us an opportunity to come out on the other side, something new and different. But people don't talk about them in advance. So we go into middle age with this trepidation about, oh, my best years are over and da 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 da, right? It's all downhill from here.
Right.
And then we're hit by all these transitions. They feel like, you know, we experience them as a sense of loss rather than a sense of transition, right? Or the opportunities that come on the other side. And it just really sets us up to experience this in a way that's entirely unnecessary. And you know, if you can recognize that it's prime time and this is when it starts, right? If you believed that everything in the story of you was just a prologue, right, up until 50, that this is when it really begins. I've done all my work. I've done all the prep. I've done everything that I need to do. Now comes the show, right? It just changes the way you feel. And it's true. It's the truth.
I love that. You know, hey, this has been all the, you know, the dry runs and the
dress rehearsal, the prologue. This is the backstory, right? Yeah. This is my backstory, right? I birthed these kids, I raised these kids. Now they're off on their own. They're creating a story. I have adult relationships with them. I invested all this time in this career or in what, you know, whatever it was, and in you know, physical feats, whatever I've done along the way, my relationship with my own parents. And now comes this time that it's just me. It's just me, right? This is where the rubber meets the road. And it's so exciting. And instead, I meet women every single day who tell me about their decrease in value. And it's just not true.
So what is the truth?
The truth is that as you come into middle age, the first thing that happens is that your body begins to transition. And you literally leave a physical mothering phase. It doesn't matter if you've had kids or not. Your body's been in a mothering phase for a long time. And as that shift begins to happen, physically begins to happen, you are presented with a deeper intuition and a deeper insight than you've ever had. And at the same time, your body calls for you to contribute in a new way. So oftentimes in midlife, women feel restless. They feel bored. They look for a sense of purpose. This is literally a physical calling. And if you can be open to the wonder of it, then the truth is that you have an opportunity to play out the best show ever. That's the truth. And that's science. I didn't make that stuff up. That's, you know, and there are plenty of women who talk about hormonal shifts from a physical side. But I'm really so much more interested in the mindset side of it, because that's what trips us up. Now, the women who do struggle with hormones during that shift, and I was one of them, oftentimes we think we're losing it.
Right.
And so we become beset by things like depression or a sort of a feeling of kind of indifference or maybe anger. And we perceive that as us. And it's not us. It's a hormonal shift. And so the more aware we can be of this stuff and accepting of it and participative in the process, then we come out of the transition on the other side ready to go. And it's beautiful.
I'm ready to get to the other side.
Well, you know, enjoy the way through it too. You got to enjoy the way through. And there's, you know, on the physical side, there's so many things that we can pursue now, from, you know, bioidenticals to different ways of eating and different kinds of exercise. And there's just so much available to us to help us through that. And it's been, you know, menopause is kind of almost like a dirty word. Yeah. Right. When I first wrote my book, I had women who said, well, I'd really like to read your book, but I don't want anyone to think I'm in menopause. What would people think?
Right.
And it used to be called the change of life. Right. Which really meant the end of life. This is the way that it was sort of presented to us. And it's just not, it's just untrue.
So do you find that there's like, out of all of these people that you surveyed and interviewed and studied, is there like one thing that they're like across the board massively uncomfortable to talk about? Is it menopause?
Or I don't think women are very comfortable talking about menopause. And I think in terms of the biggest thing that happens to women is they perceive that they're going to lose their sexy.
Yeah. Right?
I'm not going to be sexy. Men aren't going to perceive me as sexy. I can still be pretty. Right. But I'm not going to be hot. So And then now comes this
getting uncomfortable push. Over here. I'm getting uncomfortable.
Now, yeah, I'm not going to be hot anymore. Nobody's going to see me. They're not going to look at me that way. And then comes this push to fix it, right? Sure. Well, if I fix these wrinkles or I lift this up a little bit or I take this away a little bit or whatever, maybe I can hang on to it a little longer. Right. And what we lose sight of is what really makes a woman hot, what really makes you attractive is not what you look like. It's what you give off. And there is nothing sexier. There really is nothing sexier than a woman who's in hot pursuit of what she wants. When you want something and you are hotly pursuing it, you give off something that is just, it's sexy as hell. It doesn't matter how old you are. And you know, we all know there are examples of plenty of women who we see who are hot as hell, you know, in middle age. So what I always tell women is if you're worried about losing your sexy, find something to be interested in. Start pursuing something because pursuit is sexy. Whether it's a new sport, whether it's, you know, learning something new, whether it's a new career, whatever it is, get into it in the same way you would begin again, in the same way that you did in your 20s, because that's what makes you sexy and dewy and interesting in conversation. And, you know, the way that we deal with our bodies has so much to do with our posture and the way we fit, literally put ourselves out there. And confidence comes from action, from pursuit. Sure. And that's what makes you hot.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, as somebody, I watch a lot of women, you know, that's part of what I participate in is helping people, you know, speak and sell from stage, right? And doing that and doing these podcasts and getting them on here. And it's really fun to watch them in their lane, you know, like finding that and owning it. And it is sexy. It is sexy. To watch that. And
you know, what's so funny too about the sexy thing is we have this perception that we lose our sexy, right? And then we have this perception that beginning something is clumsy. Okay. Right. So but by the time we're 50, we know everything, right? I mean, I know everything. Everyone in our house knows everything, right? Like literally, everyone knows everything. So yeah. You just feel that if you begin again, it's going to be embarrassing. Yeah. So now here I'm worried about my physicality.
My learning curve. Like,
yes, I'm worried about my physicality. And then I'm worried about this clumsiness of beginning again. But the truth is, it's the beginning again that makes you sexy. And if we can look at things with wonder, right? The idea of beginning something is incredible. It only takes 50 hours of doing any new thing to get to the point where you're proficient enough to engage in it. I don't care if you're snowboarding or writing a blog or learning Japanese. At 50 hours, you've done enough of it. It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
It's like a sliver of time.
I always tell women who have kids who are over 12, just stop doing your kids' laundry. They can do it. They know how to do their laundry. Take the laundry time, decide something new you want to do. And within a year, you'll be good enough at it that you'll be doing it. You'll be golfing or you'll be at the skateboard park or you'll be writing a blog or you'll be, you know, making crafts to sell or whatever it is you want to do. Just take your kids' laundry time and use that. Right.
Plus and that empowers your kids to be self-sufficient.
Totally. Right. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Wasted time. Okay. Yeah. We're all preparing for our kids to leave the house. And, you know, at 1,000 hours, you're now at a level where you're extremely proficient, right? So if you think about it, by the time your kids get into junior high or they're sophomores or whatever, and you start to prepare for your kids leaving the house and you fill in that time with something you're pursuing, hotly pursuing, then that crazy empty nest transition isn't so crazy. And if your kids are not leaving, if what you're thinking about is leaving your career, that's a really great way also to pursue that, right? That I'm going to hotly pursue this and I'm going to have sort of a time, you know, a learning curve time, right? And I promise you during that learning curve, you're sexy as hell.
I agree with that. With watching other people, I don't know if I necessarily think that that's sexy when I'm doing it.
Well, no, you might not feel sexy, but other people will think you're sexy. There is nothing.
I feel clumsy, but I, you know, that I should already know this stuff and that I, yeah. Why is
being
it hard?
Being on fire about something, you walk in a room and you're on fire, people see that. And, you know, all the people who are worried too about being in a relationship over time, you know, I've been with my husband for 20 years and we talk a lot about our son. So when he's gone, there's a lot less conversation to have, sure. Right? And what makes conversation interesting is bringing something new to the table. So if you want your to keep the spice up in your relationship, in the bedroom, whatever, be freaking interesting. And the way that you're interesting is by pursuing things, your things that are your own, that turn you on. Because when you're turned on, people see it and it turns them on.
Yeah, you know, and you're excited about it and you're happy and you're like,
you want to share it.
You want to share it. And every time you turn around, you're thinking about that thing and you're thinking about it when you go to bed and you're thinking about it when you're having your morning coffee and you're thinking about it while you're packing your kids lunch and you're right. Like,
yeah.
It is exciting to think about that newness, whatever that is. And, you know, I agree that, yeah, that's when you can bring that new sizzle into whatever lost its sizzle too. So
yeah. And I think, you know, the other thing that happens to us, especially our generation of women, this sort of boomers and the beginning of Gen X, right, is that we have all these things in our mind about being certified and qualified.
Yeah.
Okay. So say tomorrow I decide that my thing is going to be photography. I'm going to become a photographer, right? What I always tell women is on the day that you decide that, you are that. Right? As soon as you got an iPhone and you can shoot a picture, you're a photographer. I don't know what level photographer you are, but you need to be that. And the moment you say that, you're going to be that. Like, I became an author the moment I started writing a book. I'm an author. That's what I do. That's what I'm doing. I don't need to prove it to anyone. I need to be that thing. It's being that thing that feels glorious. Mm. So don't qualify yourself. And I'm not suggesting that you be an amateur psychiatrist and go out and get patients. I'm, you know, but the moment you decide you're going to be something and you are that thing, it changes you. And I meet so many women who have this idea that, well, I'm going to, you know, I put 25 years into my career, 20 years in or whatever, I'm going to wind down. If you're going to wind down for 30 years, 35 years, this is going to be a rough wind down.
Yeah.
Average lifespan for a woman in America right now is 86 years. So if you're thinking about winding down at 50, you gotta have a lot of time to fill in.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. So we are hot on the end of our time.
Okay.
I seriously could talk to you all afternoon about this, like all afternoon. And I think it's such a relevant topic. And again, it's one that a lot of people, I think, shy away from, even though it's so pertinent and like right here for all of us.
Yes.
Like it's hitting us in the head all the time. And we kind of push it off and don't talk about it. And I love that you are embracing it and that you're addressing it and that you're bringing it front and center. And you're like, listen, ladies, you're still hot.
Yes. Hottest you've ever been.
Yeah. And you're worthy and you are so valuable and you're so wise. You're wise and people want your counsel and they want your insight. And I love that you stand for that. I love that you promote that. I love that that's what you do with your coaching.
I love it.
How do people find you?
So you can find me at jujuhook.com. That's sort of my home base for all things midlife. But what's positively primetime.com, which is going, I see it going across the screen here. That's a 21-day revolution. So that's an experience. It's the best way to experience my shtick. You get my book included. It's $47. And then you go through a group of women, a community of primetime women, together for 21 days through that mindset shift and come out on the other side with a different feeling about how middle age is going to work for you and what it is that you really want. And you just sort of walk away in that state of hot pursuit, the sexy.
I love that. Yeah, you guys, it's been the Positively Prime Time's been running across the screen here. It is a 21-day experience with Juju and your friends that are going right through it with you. And I think that if if that's something that you want to change and embrace in your world, you get to have that 21-day experience with Juju and take
it. And jump in now, and we don't start until after the holidays. So you want to jump in now to get the 47 early bird pricing, but you don't have to do 21 days through the holidays. I know that that's a crazy time for women. So we'll start after the first of the year, just about the time that we're all mad at ourselves for choosing whatever our New Year's resolutions were and not doing them.
And how many Buckeyes we ate. So we drank.
Exactly.
And making all those New Year's resolutions that
we know.
So again, you guys, we've been talking to Juju Hook. She is an amazing, amazing woman in this world. She is wise beyond her years, and she lives out her entire existence now to help you step into. You're wanting to inspire 1 million women.
I do. I do.
To live out the second half of your lives with more passion and joy than the first. Like, what a mission. What a mission. Like, I'm so thrilled that you're in my circle and in my world. And I'm loving that you were on the show today. And thank you so much.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing your wealth of knowledge and your insight on where we sit right now, prime time. Positively prime time, and this is it. This is it. Go shine.
All right. That's awesome. See you around.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us this afternoon. We've been live with Juju Hook, the amazing, amazing, amazing author, career author. You are like a bazillion things all rolled into one. And I am loving that you spent your time with us today. So we'll see you right back here soon, everybody. Take care.